The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome to the 5 o'clock hour of Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. I don't do this often. I would hope that every single segment that we do on this program is valuable, informational, inspirational. But there are some segments that I think are more significant and important than others, and the 4 o'clock hour was one of those. It was my privilege to have Ron Archer on the program. I don't know whether you're familiar with him or not. If not, you should be. He has a brand new book out, What Belief Can Do. One of the most dynamic, powerful speakers I have ever heard. His book is his life story. It is so out there, bizarre. If his book were a work of fiction, nobody would read it. Because people would say, I know it's fiction, but that is just too outrageous. The plot is so crazy, so out there. But it's not fiction. It is truth. What Belief Can Do. I hope you get the book. But the 4 to 4:30 segments, if you were not able to listen, please go to the archives at thewordcolumbus.com, click on my picture, and it will say listen to past programs, and you'll see it right there. Usually it's very, very easy to access. If you have the WRFD app on your phone, it's even easier to access. Just pull up the app, and past programs will be right there at your fingertips. Listen to the two segments, 4 to 4:15 and 4:15 to 4:30. If you missed it, please don't miss this interview. It's that good. And it's not because I did the interview. With Ron Archer, you ask one question, and then you just sit back. And off he goes. Anyway, I hope you will listen. I saw it. I don't know who posted it. One of my Facebook friends. I keep saying that I have a love-hate relationship with Facebook. I look at it and I just go, shake my head and go, why did you post that? How? What in the world? You know, a couple of my Facebook friends, and I readily admit this, I don't know probably 80% of my Facebook friends. I have a radio program, and most I have not met personally. They're friends on Facebook, but most, I've never met them personally. And that's okay. You know, I understand. But today, a couple people posted pictures of, you know, they fell and their oozing wound. Please, I don't need to see that. You know, if you want to say I fell down and skinned myself and it hurts really bad, cool. Don't put a picture. But anyway. Every once in a while, somebody posts something really, really good. And I should have written down who it was so I could give them credit. But anyway, somebody posted a quote from Richard Niebuhr, N-I-E-B-U-H-R. Many of you are familiar with him. In his book, The Kingdom of God in America, it is just one sentence, but I want you to hear this. Here's the quote. A God without wrath brought men without sin into a kingdom without judgment through the ministrations of a Christ without a cross. Wow. Now, let me read it for you again slowly. A God without wrath brought men without sin into a kingdom without judgment through the ministrations of a Christ without a cross. That, my friends, is progressive Christianity in America today. A God without wrath. That's the shack. And pardon me for bringing it up again, but that's why I was so very, very hard on the book and the movie when it came out. The shack is false doctrine. It's heresy. Why? Because it only presents half of God. It presents a God with no wrath, no judgment, no justice whatsoever. Just loving, 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 loving. God is loving, 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 but he is also just. And he poured out his wrath on sin throughout the Old Testament. And then ultimately, in a climax of wrath, he poured out his wrath on his only begotten Son at Calvary and judged the sin of the world. Yes, God is a God of wrath. A God without wrath brought men without sin. There is a movement in the progressive church to do away with the whole concept of sin. A God without wrath brought men without sin into a kingdom without judgment through the ministrations of a Christ without a cross. Now, the cross is the very center of Scripture. It is the very climax of God's plan. But again, the progressive church preaches a cross, but a cross without judgment, without wrath. In other words, they eliminate the penal aspect of the cross. They will tell you, and think about how bizarre this is. They will not tell you that the cross was a place where God poured out his anger and wrath upon sin. They will say that God sent Jesus to die on the cross to demonstrate his love. What a bizarre way to illustrate love. What kind of a God would that be? A God who sends his son to die an inexplicably painful, horrible death to say, I love you. What? Really? That makes far less sense than that God loved the world so much that he sent his only begotten son to die for our sins as a substitutionary atonement, as a propitiation for our sin. That makes sense. But the progressive church has taken away the wrath of God, the sin of man, and the ultimate meaning of the cross. They've removed it all. It's an excellent quote. A God without wrath brought men without sin into a kingdom without judgment through the ministrations of a Christ without a cross. Good stuff. Good stuff. I shared it on Facebook, and a whole bunch of other people have shared it as well, and it is a message that needs to be proclaimed today. All right, it is time for a brief but important intermission, and I'll meet you on the other side, all right? Yeah, I'll be there, so you be there.
To today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. Just real quick, and I'm surprised I haven't mentioned it before. Did you watch the debate last night? I watched very little of it. I did record it so I could go back. I've read a lot of reviews today from conservatives and liberals alike, from conservative media and liberal media. And the consensus opinion, I think, of everyone from ABC, NBC, CNN, Fox, the consensus opinion was it was total chaos. The debate was absolute chaos. I tuned in a couple of times last night. And every time I tuned in, they were yelling at each other. They were pointing at each other. There was no rhyme or reason why who was speaking when they were speaking. The panelists, the CBS panelists, are really getting criticism today for absolutely losing any control whatsoever. From everything I can gather, it was a total free-for-all. Nobody abided by the rules, the regulations. There were no time limits. There was just a lot of yelling. And the funniest thing of all is around they're all raising their hands like a school child, especially Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. I mean, did you see that? Am I wrong in this? They're like little kids. Me. Call on me. And then Bernie Sanders starts raising both hands, you know? Me. It was a stage full of immature little children calling each other's names, yelling at each other. But you see, they're desperate. The liberal left has a real problem. Bernie Sanders is the one. Okay, the Democrats have the same problem that the Republicans had this time 4 years ago. 4 years ago, the Democrats, Hillary was going to be the nominee. Bernie Sanders was making a lot of noise, but the powers that be in the Democratic Party had already determined Hillary is our candidate. It was already a done deal. And so when Bernie Sanders began to surge, they torpedoed him. And now we know that because Hillary was the anointed candidate. The Republicans, on the other hand, didn't necessarily have an anointed candidate. And the one that the Republican establishment feared more than anyone else was this goofy, crazy guy with the goofy hair, the TV star Donald Trump. And when the primary season began, nobody gave Trump a chance. And so the Republican establishment just kind of ignored Trump. Who would vote for him? And then the primaries began, and Trump began to get traction, and he started winning primaries, and the Republican establishment began to panic. This guy may have a chance. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We don't want him as our candidate. This guy can't win an election. We'll get killed against Hillary. Remember that? Do you remember that? And then we got to the convention, and the Republican establishment was beside themselves. What are we going to do? He's won fair and square. Oh, my goodness. And then he had John Kasich, the governor of Ohio, the host governor for the Republican convention. I'm not going to go. I don't like Donald Trump, and so I'm not even going to go. Governor Kasich, it's your state. I know, but I'm not going to go because I don't like Trump. I don't like him. I want to. So, and then, of all things, he got elected. All right. Fast forward to 2020. It's exactly what's happening with the Democrats. Bernie doesn't have a chance. He's an old guy. He's radical. He's too far left. The guy is a socialist communist. There's no way that people are going to. And then he has started winning primaries. And the Democratic establishment is absolutely panicking. And so the Democratic establishment, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, not Pete Buttigieg. No, he's not part of it. But last night was desperation. We stop Bernie now or we're done. And so yelling, screaming, shouting, you got Joe Biden quoting absolutely ridiculous statistics about how many people have died by guns. According to Joe Biden, about one third of the entire population of America has been killed by guns. God, my goodness. But you saw chaos and panic last night. Now, I really believe that the Democrats are where the Republicans were at this time in the primary season 4 years ago. Donald Trump pulled it off and got elected. It is possible Bernie Sanders, crazy Bernie, could actually get the nomination. Now, I think it is far more unlikely that Bernie Sanders will get elected than the fact that Donald Trump did. But strange things are happening in American politics. But I said it yesterday, I'll repeat it today. I am having a very, very hard time believing that a socialist is leading the polls in any political party in America. Knowing what we know about socialism, about the history of socialism, it is hard to believe that Americans could be this ignorant, this absolutely foolish. But it looks like we are. It is going to be fascinating to watch between now and this summer. It really is. And of course, South Carolina and then Super Tuesday next week. It is going to be a wild, wild, wild ride.